cold silence that we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us and a river so deep. We keep pretending that there's nothing wrong. There's a code of silence and it can't go on. Is the truth so elusive? So elusive you to see that it ain't enough, baby. Bridge the distance between you and me. There's a list of grievances, 100 miles long. There's a cold of silence, and it can't go on.
I'm Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix. On 24th of September 2007. For newcomers, look into cuttingthroughthematrix.com for lots of free downloads on various topics that I've done over the years. And you can also go into alanwattsentientsentinel.eu for transcripts and languages of Europe, which you can also download for free. Today and yesterday, I was up on the hill cutting a lot of wood up for this winter. And it was a beautiful day to start off. Both days were beautiful. And yesterday, the planes started making their grid pattern across the sky. And the massive chemtrail, which is definitely a chemical trail, it's not a condensation trail, behind them, until the sky was just eventually this mush that all joined together from the trails and created this polymer-type haze all over the sky. Now, this has been going on for at least 10 years consistently in Canada, or Ontario for sure. But we know they've tested it out in other countries over many, many years, as far back as the 1950s. Now they're actually using some kind of metallic substances to create a better type of circuitry in the sky for the electromagnetic scalar weaponry, which they're using through HARP technology. And for those into ham radio or shortwave radio, you can go through the bands and you'll find that the pulsation of the HARP is on now 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, has been since 2002, never ceasing. So they're using the spraying in conjunction with the HARP technologies to alter the weather, but it also affects human behavior. For those who are skeptical about this, look into the treaty signed at the United Nations by all the Western powers to do with weather warfare technologies. And you'll find in there that they signed in to it that they could create earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, and various other anomalies, atmospheric anomalies, downpours or droughts. They could give you a drought if they want to destroy the farming areas, which happened over the last few years out the west of Canada and the States. And they can also give you floods. Either way, they can eventually get the people out of those areas into the big city areas, which are really the habitat for the commoners, the new habitat areas for the commoners. And whenever you see anything today, you're simply seeing the side effects of part of a long-term agenda, a long-term plan laid out meticulously a long time ago. I'll go into this in more detail on the other side of the following messages.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows.
Hi. Alan Watt, back with Cutting Through the Matrix. Just talking about the spraying that's going on overhead. Now, this is a big issue because, really, it doesn't matter what else is happening unless the spraying is stopped. We won't have a chance because they have drugs in those sprays as well. And over the last few years, I've talked to many people. They phone me every day, pretty well, from all over the U.S. and other parts of the world, complaining of the same side effects of the spraying. Now, the minor side effects are simply itchy or irritated eyes. That goes into the throat area where people have scratchy throats, and in severe cases they end up with bronchitis and have to go on antibiotics because the lining in the lungs is being broken down with these chemicals that are coming down. And the chemicals have been analyzed by various people, including myself. I had about a bunch sent off down to the States for analysis, came back with aluminum oxide in very high parts per million, way above any safe level. It also has other metallic compounds in there. But the thing is, I couldn't test for pharmaceuticals. And we know, and this is disclosed again, that there are vast quantities of aerosolized drugs ready to spray over whole cities in case of national emergency to keep the people calm, of course. And what they do, according to Rumsfeld, would be to spray the Valium first, which is fast-acting, followed by a form of Prozac, aerosolized Prozac, which takes time to accumulate in the body and build up to a certain level before it works. And that made me think, well, that's obviously what they're doing, because along with all the physical effects, as I say, the eyes, the throats, the hacking coughs that people are getting, you're also seeing people either being too laid back, not caring what's going on, or else they're very, very excitable and irritable. When you are drugged through any tranquilizer for a long period of time, if you stop it or it drops in your bloodstream, then you become anxious and irritable, maybe even very aggressive. And we find that with people when they've stopped spraying for maybe up to a week. That makes sense because people, after a week, haven't had their daily dose of spray, and it's coming out of their system to become anxious. Their own system cannot kick in with its own natural tranquilizers to take over. It takes time between that crossover. And then when the spraying starts heavily again, they're back to being laid back. So I looked at it from the other side's point of view. And since they have such big, big plans made for the whole world, remember this is a 100 years war. Look into your history books and look at what happened before in bygone times when they had their 30-year wars and 40, 50, and 100-year wars. It's the same thing that's going on today. At the end of that 100 years war is to be emerge a completely new society, nothing like today's society, a regimented, purpose-made, efficient society where individuality will be gone completely because they will have brought in a new type of human being to serve them better, and that the old ones will have died off. We've already been going through this war in reality big time all through the 20th century, so you might say it's the 200 years war. The 20th century tried its best to destroy all that was in order to make room for all that will be, as they say, in the high Masonic circles, being the big builders that they are, building societies, building cultures, destroying the old culture when it had served its purpose, and bringing in the new. That's order out of chaos, a term that goes back for thousands of years. As do, in fact, the real brotherhoods behind it all that give you these little clownish ones down around you, you know, the ones that you see driving the fun little cars and parades, wearing the little shiner hats. These are the front men, although they do take good payoffs, and they generally have very good positions within your community on all the important boards. But at the top of them, you have society has gone all the way back and beyond Pythagoras. The word ton and ton for weight comes from Pythagoras. He was the one that used sympathetic vibrations of musical instruments to show you an allegory of how when one mind works in a certain way with proper ideas that are instilled in them, how you train a student, then it literally can affect another the same way. That's what really was behind the sympathetic vibration, how you can start a revolution by just one person's thoughts that are put out in the proper way to the proper students. Pythagoras himself came from Egypt, and the biggest export from Egypt was revolution. Revolution, couched under many terms and many guises, many stories, such as Prometheus, of those who were illumined. Prometheus was a man, or the god, who stole light from the higher gods, stole the fire, brought it to mankind. He illuminated the world. And if you read Shelley's poem on that very topic, Prometheus says, without me, mankind would have been nothing, like ants, like animals, living in caves with no intellect whatsoever. That's the high motif behind the real Illuminati, of ancient times, not the petty Weishaupt stuff that emerged later on. The whole idea of Sirius that's taken popular form by a handful of authors, mainly from Britain, has nothing to do with space aliens coming along. Sirius was the star, really, the dog star. The eye of the dog follows Orion, the hunter, in the winter months. But over in Egypt, that's the height of when Sirius rises. They have celebrations because at his pinnacle point, when he's seen in the morning rising against the light of the sun, that's the symbol of the good student, the adept, who's ready to overcome the master, the main light, the sun itself, which is the god of the world. And he becomes higher, he becomes a god as you break over it. Therefore, Sirius gave us the first part of Sir, the night. The night is a Sir. Sirius rising. It's just a symbol of going up through the mysteries until you are adept at them all and you can overcome the master or the laws of nature. Once you have done so, you're beyond the laws of man. You're in a different category. You're untouchable. We saw the same things break out with the Cathars and Albigensians in France, especially during the latter part of the Crusades. In fact, the last Crusade was against them because they also believed you could perfect yourself according to the old mystery religions. And the Perfecti, as they called them, those who'd risen above the Grand Masters, way above them, were untouchable. They could do anything they wanted in this world because the laws were only for the profane. When Sirius rose in Egypt, the celebrations were phenomenal because it signaled that was the time when the big rains fell down Uganda through the mountains and the beginnings of the floods down the Nile would take place, bringing all the silt and the nourishment to them. That was their life. And so life was always accorded, and abundance was accorded to the rising of Sirius. Nothing to do with space aliens, although the channelers today who are all following each other, since it's a popular theme, and since there are so many books put out there by very well-financed fall fronts to guide you along that path, it's nothing to do with it at all. Use your common sense, look at your history, see what Sirius actually meant. And it's nothing to do with the space aliens whatsoever. But it is to do with the knightly society. The dogs of war are the dogs that followed Orion across the sky. Orion is the hunter, was under many names and many guises through many religions, in fact. And the old prayers of the pharaohs to themselves, to their higher selves, was to Orion, where they said that they would ascend the pyramids until they blended with Orion the hunter, because they were the highest hunters, the highest predators on the land themselves. Something that's never changed. We find, too, that even with your mind, much preparation goes into it to waylay you along many paths, which are all fascinating, but none of them true. We find they put out authors, finance them over 20, 30 years sometimes to bring out new translations to mystify you and intrigue you, to do with giants and gods, but had nothing to do at all with what they're telling you. In fact, though the other translators don't even take these guys seriously, but the effect they have on the general public is always phenomenal. Erich von Däniken was one of them years ago who brought out Chariots of the Gods, where you saw this kind of Aztec-looking character on a type of solar or stellar motorcycle flying through space. All the media backed him right away, made a big phenomenon of it, and people swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. Everyone was talking not about OJ at that time, it was about Chariots of the Gods. That's what they give us. Here's 7 billion people on the planet, and they tell us who to talk about, and it's quite amazing, one person and their fantasy. We're back to explain more about this after the following messages and talk about Erich von Däniken.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows.
Hi. Alan Watt back with Cutting Through the Matrix, talking about some of the people who've been put out in the past to distract us, keep us totally enthralled generation after generation with new myths and new mistranslations, and deliberately so. And Eric Van Daniken was one of them, and he certainly made a lot of money at it. I'm sure he was pushed by the big boys at the top to give us our thoughts through our media, because every magazine and newspaper in the world was Parton Van Daniken, who came out of nowhere with these wall drawings, little carvings from rock, until a British journalist one day went over to Mexico and found the little character who was chipping these things away in stone for Mr. Daniken for about 5 pesos a piece. And that was the end of that. However, they don't stop there. They always give you one for every generation, or a few for every generation. They go into the space aliens and so on, and they give you very good stories because they have teams backing them up. And they know what you want to hear to mystify you. And people being of a religious nature cannot suppress that very fact. Even when they think they're atheists, they're still looking for another religion, another belief, and they grab these new beliefs that are given to them and swallow them hook, line, and sinker, and will become just as violent when you manage to dismantle those beliefs for them with fact and evidence. They will become rather nasty, just like any religious person will do if you can actually prove the mythology of their foundations. So be careful how you or who you give your mind to. You are the guard to the entrance of your mind. No one else is on guard for you. You have to do it yourself. And what you allow into your mind will influence your behavior. It can disable you in many ways too. And you will find you can get programmed very easily by those who know how to use your mind against yourself. Now, I think we have George from Illinois on the line. Are you there, George?
Yes, hello, George. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. My question, if I ask it, have to be on topic, or can it be a little different?
Let's see what the topic is.
Okay. If it's on topic, I was going to ask you about Joseph Farrell. To ask you about his research have credibility in terms of his understanding that the Giza pyramids really are some kind of advanced technology, which I don't know if he's got enough documentation for that. Is the interesting supposition, but
what you're reading today from a whole slew of authors are rehashes of stuff that was written in the 1800s, almost verbatim, in fact.
Ah.
They don't have to change it. They just have to put their own
spice it up and twist it, right?
And it's quite easy to see how the pyramids were built. We know from the air, you'll see a long straight line coming from the pyramids, generally towards where the water is, the river, because they floated the stones down on big barges, and they made ramps going right up. And they built the pyramids from the bottom, but the ramps were at the top, so they could make the floors as they were going up the way and finish them. This is all well understood with archaeologists. There's no mystery to it at all. The only mystery part was the initiation, and that is, I understand the initiations that they had, and that's all it was really for, was initiation purposes. The pyramid itself stands for the perfect mountain, the mountain that's been squared on all sides, and that's what they did on a plane, was to build a mountain that they thought was perfected. However, even the main Giza pyramid, which is really the Khufu pyramid, minus the capstone, in its measurements, is imperfect on one side, and that's why the capstone wasn't put on it. There's an actual imperfection there. They got their sums wrong, as we say, and there's nothing perfect about it at all, so that the capstone wasn't put on.
Interesting. Can I ask you another question that's a little different?
Yeah.
I'm interested in... See, I come from another country, mm-hmm. and I'm interested in this one individual who's very kind of an important... person in our country in terms of foreign policy, Zbigniew Brzezinski.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever studied his genealogy and found out where he's from? Because I sense that his roots are really not Polish, very far back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because from what I understand, can I ask you about the Khazar Empire? Is
uh-huh.
that okay?
Yeah.
I understand that it was located in, just western part of where Russia is now.
Yeah, it's around the Black Sea area, yeah. Was it Khazaria?
Right. It's on both between the Caspian Sea and the Black Sea. And they were a kind of wandering tribe until they settled in that area. And there's a very substantial, like a kind of a mothership castle. It's tremendous. It's just this... A
yeah.
great castle that was really for the Teutonic Knights in that area.
Yeah.
Now, do you know if there's any connection between the Teutonic Knights and the Khazarian Empire at all?
It's not so much just with the Teutonic Knights. Now, you're right in the fact that they were nomadic to an extent, but within that area, within those mountains, that area was their land. And hang on the line, and I'll go into this in more detail, will you?
Okay.
Because the first thing Lenin did when they took over the Soviet Union was to flood that entire area and its castles to bury it.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guy's lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows.
Hi, Alan Watt back with Cutting Through the Matrix, and beginning with George's question on Khazaria. If you go into the history of that area, long, long before it was mentioned in any history book or Western history book, the Greeks had histories of that area about 500 BC. You find the writings of Herodotus talks about a people who lived there, but he called them the Scythians. And there were 2 groups of them, exactly the same as the Khazars. They had the royal Scythians and the regular people on the outside, the circular outside of the royals, that were also Scythians, with the Khazars, when they called Khazars, which also means princes or kings, actually, that's what it means. In fact, if you look at the Rosetta Stone, and you'll find it's an attribute to the Caesar written in there in Latin, you'll find they used the old Greek letter of K, and you have Khazar instead of Caesar. But as I go back to Herodotus, he talks about these people living in that area amongst different tribes like the Alani and others to the south of the Black Sea. And later on, of course, we find people called the Khazars, where there are royal Khazars in the middle with a vast nobility around them, mounted nobility who rode with mail, chainmail, and lances. And we find when Khazaria disappeared, it was never conquered. They simply melded out of there. The darker-haired ones went into Europe and parts of Russia. But it was never explained where the big, huge mounted cavalry, a cavalry that was so big, they actually held off the Moor invasion. If it wasn't for the Khazars, the Roman Empire, the religious Roman Empire would have fallen, and everyone would have been Muslim. And so the Khazars, with their vast mounted army, well-disciplined, fought on behalf and saved Rome. It's quite interesting. But Leo the Khazar was the first Khazarian pope, going way, way back with red hair and the blue eyes. Amazing history if you go into it. If you go into Arthur Kessler, who's one author on that. I have books here going back into the 1700s written then about them too, much more information. But what interests me is the fact that the mounted knights were never accounted for when they moved out. Where did they go? It was at the same period around the 11th century, this new people called the Normans suddenly appear in the north of France and then come up through Scandinavia and into Britain and conquered most of Europe as well. And all the nobility of today in Europe are descended from what they call the Norman, which is just a term meaning the Northmen. They came in from the north. But the Normans themselves had tremendous finances backing them, a full World War scale type of logistical supply went on in their day for 10, 15 years when they were taking over what was then the Western world. And you'll find the coats of arms and so on that they had were very similar to what the Khazar nobility had on their standards. And underneath one of the main lakes, as I say, that Lenin caused by flooding, he made a massive dam over one of the main castles of the Khazars. Divers have gone down, brought up artifacts and statues and little amulets and so on. And you'll see pictures of these knighted horsemen who rode in formation with the lance, the long lance, and they wore chainmail, had shields and banners. So I think there's a connection between literally the beginning of the Normans and the exit of the Khazarian nobility, personally. And it's been well camouflaged down through history. The Khazars themselves only had one outpost outside of Khazaria. They lived on taxation. They taxed all. They were in the middle of the main trade route all the way to China, and they taxed everyone coming and going with their goods. So they lived off taxation of other peoples. They also intermarried the royal Khazars with the Turkish nobility. But that nobility became part of the Ottoman Empire and ruled the world, that they're part of the world for a long, long time. And so they're all interwoven, these particular peoples, down through the many, many centuries. But the dark-haired ones were sometimes called the black nobility. Many went to Venice and ran the banking industry from there. They were the financiers for the Crusades, for the Roman Church, the Catholic Crusades. And they owned vast shipping, seagoing ships. They rented them. Without them, the Templars and all the other groups who went over the Crusades couldn't have got across the water. All the shipping for that, the Crusades were owned by the Knights of Venice. So yeah, they're all highly, highly interconnected. But there's a connection between the Khazars, as I say, the royal Khazars, that is, who were the red-haired, green, blue-eyed ones, and the high Norman nobility that end up being kings and queens of Europe. So does that help with your question? Hello?
You had mentioned Arthur Kessler, and I know he wrote that one book. I think it's the 13th Tribe.
Yeah.
But there, I think he's got another book which is really focused on Khazar Empire. Can you recommend one?
Not from that era. The older ones were far more explicit because archaeologists were going in the 1800s. Amateur archaeologists were going in and finding much more of these artifacts before the Royal Society took over all archaeology and basically hid a lot of it from the general public. But when you get the old books written at the time with people who went on, went over there with their own resources, their own financing, they took many early photographs in the 1800s, late 1800s, of the artifacts that they were finding. And it is very surprising. I say the first thing that Lenin did, the first big building project he undertook, was to flood these areas where the nobility's castles of the Khazarian Empire were. What they also had in common with the nobility of Europe, the kings and queens of Europe, is that they would go to a summer castle, a winter castle, spring and fall castle. They made this circular tour every year, exactly as the royal families of Europe do today, and always have done. So they have an awful lot in common.
No, just a quick
to find the better books.
Just one thing. I want to thank you for your great knowledge of the source of words, etymology of history, and that's very impressive. I have your books, and I'm just starting to read them, and look forward to really getting into them. Thank you. I really appreciate it, Alan. Bye-bye.
Bye now. But yeah, people who want my books should go into them. They're different from the regular ones where you just get downloaded with supposedly facts and figures. I try to make you think using a different technique so you participate in what you're reading. That way you remember it and your mind starts to work. You start to analyze that which you see for the first time, rather than simply parrot the words. Because the wording in the language is coded. It was the English language especially really was manufactured in the 1500s. And whole teams of high priests were involved in the making of the language to make the international business language of the future, as John Dee said 500 years ago. And they were successful in that, but they also put in the coding. And you'll find it in some of John Dee's writings, especially the one where he's calling down spirits and raising the dead. It had nothing to do with that at all. It was to do with showing you coding. There's coding inside there. It was the same with Aleister Crowley with his Book of the Law. Forget all the exoteric stuff. It's the graphs you can build within the book itself. If you make a graph of it and connect the dots and the lines together and connect the words that come out of it, you get the real messages. Well, John Dee was exactly the same. And that's how it's done. And to get the new language into circulation, they changed, they gave you the King James Bible at the same time and Shakespeare, who introduced supposedly 160,000 words into the language. In other words, they created the language at that time. Prior to that, if you go back into the writings we had from some of the few authors we were given access to, they actually spoke and wrote in Old Saxon and German with a little modification just by being separated from those particular countries, but they were Saxon German in essence. You'll find that with Pilgrim's Progress in the original version, not the later updated English version. So read Pilgrim's Progress and you'll see what I'm talking about. Nothing has been left alone, and we tend to think in short term. We live short lives. Our parents struggle through lives too. They race through lives. We all do. And therefore, we can't imagine that there are people who pass on formulas and knowledge from archives down through the centuries and plan the future. But that's exactly how it is. If you want to control and always have control, you must always plan the future. Going back to the Normans, the first thing they did when they went into countries and took them over was to force the public to use money to begin with. That was the first thing. And then use that money to tax back from them the taxation they used for their big building projects. That's their MO, building projects, which are huge, massive cathedrals, massive roadworks and highways. Even back 1,000 years ago, they made highways between the cities for all their coaches and their armies to travel along. Go back even further, where they had the system before, even the Normans, and you'll find the Romans did the same thing, the pre-Christian Rome. They built roads all over countries. They built them right through England, long straight roads, where they could transport the centurions quickly to their target, the same thing as NAFTA is doing today. That's what they're going to be used for in the future, folks, believe me. I have no doubt about it at all. And they use your money and your labor to do it all. Always planning ahead. When Ronald Reagan mentioned the Star Wars project, he wasn't kidding. And yet people forgot about it so quickly. The Star Wars project wasn't just to shoot down other missiles or other satellites from other countries. Its main purpose through NASA was actually to set up the communication system that will control your ID cards, which have active chips coming up next year, and also to eventually track implanted chips in humans who are putting up the satellites 20 years ago in preparation for today. They always, always work ahead. And so as I keep telling people, there's always a good reason given to the public, and then there's a real reason which you're never told. But you will see it manifest down the road. So the world is planned, and rich people down through the many centuries never disappear. These families never disappear. They would build up a new empire to move into, and when they pulled out with their families and their money, the old countries they left went back to a third world status. Just look at ancient Greece, what happened there. It wasn't because they were conquered, it was because the big elite had moved out and taken all the wealth with them. And then they did the same thing in the latter days of Rome. And they did it all down through the centuries through Europe, when they made their bases to Holland and then to England and then to the U.S., and now they're putting their bases back over in China to take over for the next century. Now, I have another guy on the line. I missed the name. It's my fault there. Are you on the line? Who are you? Mike. Okay. Are you there, Mike?
Hello, yes, Mike. Hi, thanks for taking my call. I really enjoy your program.
Yeah, where are you
get a
from?
Really good perspective, overall view of what, you know, history is about. I'm a big history buff.
Yeah.
From what I understand, the Normans are basically the Vikings that had settled in the Normandy Peninsula. They made a deal with King Rollo. It was King. Was the Viking King Rollo that made a deal with the King of France? Said, "Hey, you know, we'll give you this 50 tons of silver in the Normandy Peninsula. Just leave us alone." Isn't that how the Normans came about?
That's the story they'd like to have you believe, but it doesn't tally. If you look at all the portraits of kings and queens from the Norman times onwards.
Uh-huh.
You'll find most of them, most of the barons and the lords, etc., were very dark hair, curly hair, and brown eyes, and they spoke French, remember, too.
Yeah. Okay?
That was traditional. Even the court of England, they spoke French for centuries, not English.
Sure.
And you'll find the occasional one here or there was more blonde, but it didn't tie in. They didn't use any of the Scandinavian languages. We didn't have the customs of the Scandinavians either. But we know this thing. The Khazars had one base outside of Khazaria. The one base they had was in Sweden.
Oh, yeah?
Even in the 6th century AD, is now Sweden. So there's a connection there. They came up through those countries and used that as a jumping-off point, but they certainly were not related to the Vikings.
I guess I got that one wrong, but that's just what I read in the history book. And if the Anglo-Saxons, for the Battle of Hastings, they had just marched from up north after walloping this huge Viking army, and a lot of their forces were decimated. If they wouldn't have had to deal with the Viking battle at Stamford Bridge, then the Normans wouldn't have stood a chance.
Yeah,
the way I understand it. But I tell you, one group that's really fascinating are the Scythians.
Yeah.
It's hard to find books on them, but I mean, they're probably my favorite barbarian people.
Yeah, they did.
Great
they had,
horsemen.
They had quite amazing sacrifices, too. They used to, one of the tests for the king was to go into a boiling vat with a horse and not emerge until the horse was actually boiled alive, and he was still alive, then he came out, yeah.
And they found graves where Kurgans in southwest Russia, where they had dozens of slaves, hundreds of horses sacrificed.
Yeah,
they're great horse archers. They had this religion that they had a eunuch who was like a male witch.
Yeah,
who would drink blood mixed with hallucinogenics and prophesize.
Yeah.
But let me ask you a question, and I don't know, I don't take up too much time, get too far afield, but what do you make of the people that say that the Caucasians, that the Anglo-Saxon peoples are descendants of the lost tribes of Israel? That
no,
they're
that,
the people?
That really was put out profusely on the orders of the British Crown in the 1800s. They caught on to this idea of trying to convince their own soldiers, their middle class that were getting sent across to India and Africa and other parts of the world, that if they could believe that they were the lost tribes, they would be more efficient in what they were doing, bringing the system to the world. And their main the main part that they touted was that the blessing that God gave on the tribes of Israel, or at least to Abraham, that his seed would be as the sands of the sea and the stars in the sky. And since Judaism was too small worldwide, it had to be the British. So they had to convince the British public that this was true. And the Crown paid for all these books to be written.
So that's all a PR stunt?
Yeah.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guy's lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows.
Hi, Alan Watt back with Cutting Through the Matrix, trying to make sense of some of the nonsense we've been fed down through the centuries, and definitely in the last 100 years or so through a common education, which gave us more disinformation than reality. Now, it's true that the Vikings did go all the way to the Volga, and there's no doubt they would interbreed at the high elite levels with other elitists in that area, but there's no doubt about it in my mind that, as I say, the Normans who came in, especially when they came in from France as well, and floated whole forts across, wooden forts, prefabricated forts, never been done before. Big builders they were, and they spoke French. And they had supply routes going all the way back through Europe and beyond Europe into other countries where I'm sure their ancestors had lived at one time. You'll find even with Robert the Bruce, his name was Robert de Brucy, the guy who became the first king of Scotland, supposedly fighting the English, only to give us taxation after a common country was formed. Before that, they didn't have a common country, and they were quite happy as they were, in reality. If it hadn't been for the English invading, there'd have been no Battle of Bannockburn and no nation of Scotland. And again, it made no difference anyway, because the kings always intermarry with the queens of other countries, and Scotland was given away in a marriage. So they housed that, eh? Giving away a whole country in a marriage, quite the dowry. And that's how the people are treated down through the centuries, no different than today. So dig into your histories, as I say, and you'll find some amazing stuff. Don't be fascinated by the modern books put out there to give you all the usual, the space aliens and the big giants and all the rest of it. Quite fascinating stuff. It's good stuff for late night talk shows where you let your mind go into imagination, into a form of dreaming, but it's not the actual truth, and we've got to keep fact from fantasy when we're dealing with reality, especially when our lives are hanging in the balance, and so are the lives of those to come. We're living in a war situation, and going back to the spraying, notice how there's a lack of birds in the country now. I've noticed that for 4 years. The spraying is killing the little birds off, the very small ones especially, the larger ones, the crows, the carrion types. And the buzzards are doing pretty good, but the smaller birds are absent pretty well, one or two here or there. The forest should be ringing with birds now, and they're not. It's been like that for 4 years. They die off first. And also they have the modified seed from all the crops they peck away at, which also kills them, and that's the other reason for it. So they're getting attacked from the air and from the seed, as are we too, by the way. But they say it's not over till the fat lady sings, and at least more and more people are waking up to the truth. They're getting beyond all the disinformation specialists. They're getting beyond the panic stages, and they realize that once critical mass builds up, then the big boys at the top will have a hell of a lot of answering to do to the people who know how to ask the questions and what questions to ask and demand to be answered. It's time that those who pretend to serve us put back in their place before they do us in all together. So from Hamish, my dog, and myself up here in Ontario, Canada, it's good night, and may your God or your gods go with you.
It's true.